It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 24th day of May, 2022. This is The Horn, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's also where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. During the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. All time zones in between and the great globe round. And if you pop by right now, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Stock and Larry and Squeaky and Roger and Oregon and Anatole and capably moderated, well, no, incapably moderated by, well, me. Yeah. Pop by. Should be a lot of fun. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different, and so therefore we send out thanks to our 24th day of the month subscribers on PayPal. And, what we mean by that is we say thank you. Thank you to Josh, and we say thank you to Pam in Washington State. Thank you to Samson. Thank you. Very kindly to each and every one of you for being partial sponsors of the program. So where do we find ourselves? Well, we find ourselves in the deepest fundraising hole The Horn has ever been in. This is a this is an inauspicious record that we are setting. The fundraising hole is $2,265. Ralph's has kindly kept her challenge on the table. There's $25 to go on that. Jude jumped in and caught and met half of that last night, so that would help considerably. And I don't know what else to call this, but how not to have an independent liberal progressive radio network anymore. Funny how this never happens to people who lie to their audience for a living, people like Alex Jones, the right wing funds its own far better than the left does its. But here we are. And that is a deep. I don't know. They might have to get like some sort of drilling device or something to reach us a hole like that. But here it is, Titanic Tuesday. Of course, Titanic Tuesday is set aside each and every Tuesday to take note of manifestations of right wing intellect. Sure, the kind of intellect that sees an iceberg and says, "No, really. We won't even know it's there until we get right up to it." Sure, why not? And, of course, just as a reminder, because I haven't mentioned this in a while, the whole story of Titanic Tuesday goes back a long way. It goes back to a radio host who is no longer among the quick. I'll leave that alone, because nil nisi bonum. Who one morning in Beckley God, that sounds like the beginning of a bad horror movie, One Morning in Beckley. Took a call from one of his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers who said, Steve, how come you're working at Isla? There ain't no... There's seashells in the rocks in West Virginia. Because I see them when I was down in the Mons. It's right there, and right there in the top, I looked up, and there's all kinds of leaves and shit, and seashells. And, of course, the morning monotone replied,
"Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates."
And Titanic Tuesday was thereby born. You know, still no mention of the whereabouts of the Titanic bamboo steamer. The Titanic, of course, being made of steel, but when it hit the iceberg, very just as easily could have been made of. It could have been a steamer made of bamboo. Oh, I'm just so ashamed. But anyway, that's where the idea of Titanic Tuesday comes from. And so here we are, and we've got plenty of which to take note. And we will. But I've got a little correspondence I would like to deal with on the front end. You know how much I love Lady V's correspondence. And so with that in mind, a note. Lady V says, I wasn't able to listen to much of the podcast yesterday. I did catch the thing on Nancy Pelosi being denied communion. I don't think priests should have that choice. This isn't the 20th century, much less the 14th. You know, and by the way, their avatar, these befrocked, lace-gown-wearing princes of the church, their avatar never denied anybody who wanted to come see him or to seek, you know, salvation. But, nevertheless, Lady B says, this isn't the 20th century, much less the 14th. A man and a woman should be able to enjoy sex together without her having to worry about getting pregnant every single time. As far as abortion, that's between a woman and her God, and, you know, her doctor. Brief interruption, Lady B, forgive me, but I take cowbells as they arrive. Thank you, Tom and Sunny San Rafael. Cowbell for you. It could have just as well been a bamboo steamer. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. That's very kind of you. Darlene in Connecticut says, after Ralph's challenge is met, please put my $100 challenge on the table. Thank you. Thank you, Darlene. This is about as creepy as it's ever gotten. And we are closer to not being a radio network anymore than most people know, or that I even want to talk about. Thank you. So there's $125 in challenges on the table. Thank you to Ralphs, and thank you to Darlene. Thank you so very much. Lady B, you know, saying, as far as abortion, that's between a woman and her God and her doctor. I added the doctor part, but I think she'd agree. And as an aside, you can best believe before birth control, either before or after mom has pushed out their sixth, dad has already found a lover who takes birth control and will get an abortion if he pays for it. There's been the occasional slip-up. Ask all the folks who found out they had half-brothers and sisters after eagerly submitting their DNA to Ancestry.com. Oh, my God, I hadn't even thought about that. You're right. Talk about the government spying on you. Too late, rubes. P.S., your phone is a tracking device. Yes, it is. Not that well-versed in Catholicism, Lady B continues. I suppose communion's a big part of the faith, but who Nancy Pelosi is and what she does for a living is even more important than that. Nancy is a devout Catholic. She's never shied from proclaiming her faith. She also happens to be very rich and very influential. I'm certain the Catholic Church has found its way to see around a multitude of transgressions, priests molesting children, anyone, in order to keep their coffers full. This Archbishop is barking up the wrong tree. I would hope that a powerful woman in her 70s who's seen and done more to help people than many of those hypocrites in their fancy robes could ever dream of would stand strong and, if need be, switch to a church who sees her for works and deeds that merit being given communion far more than they don't. Yeah, well, I mean, and then, you know, the book, their holy book also has the book of James in it that actually contains the line, and I know Lady B knows it as well or better than I do, faith without works is what? Dead. Yes, dead, 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 dead. I reason, Lady B says, what Nancy does in Congress ensures our children's future. So while the church cruelly and sluggishly adheres to and wants to keep rehashing beliefs and standards of the past, the young folks of today want to be able to plan the size of their family so they can actually be able to afford to buy a fucking home. It ain't about how we used to do things anymore, Robin. The internet is now a more powerful and far-reaching influencer than the Gutenberg Bible was. We can get interpretations of Aramaic online. We know Jesus wasn't a light-skinned European. Yep, no blue eyes there. And we damn sure don't have to rely on misogynistic men telling us how God thinks anymore. The kids' eyes are open. Shit's going to be changing around here, and that right sooneth. Oh, cowbell. Cowbell for the sooneth. Anyway, you and Scott are a delight and a credit to the human race. Y'all had me straight cracking up with your conversation about Blazing Saddles. That's one of me and my family's favorite movies. We never fail to watch it when it comes on. Best lines. Excuse me while I whip this out. And the attendant screaming. Lily von Stupp. I've been with thousands of men again and again. They promise the moons are always coming and going and going and coming. And always too soon. A wed woes. How romantic. Will I see you again? Well, it all depends on how much vitamin E I can get my hands on. Hedley Lamarr, now go do that voodoo that you do so well. And Lyle. Now, come on, boys, where's your spirit? I don't hear no singing. When you were slaves, you sang like birds. Go on. How about a good old work song? Followed by Bart belting out, I get no kick from champagne. Mere alcohol doesn't thrill me at all. So tell me, why should it be true that I get a belt out of you? God, I love it. You know, we're probably, you know, with me singing now, we're fucking toast. Charlie, they said you was hung. Bart, and they was right. Gabby Johnson, the sheriff's in. He says the sheriff's near. And then, of course, Buddy Singers. Throw up your hands, stick out your tush, hands on your hips, give them a push. You'll be surprised you're doing the French mistake. Voila! Great movie. Too bad the young folks can't appreciate it for the satire it was. Does it help to mention that Mel Brooks is Jewish and Richard Pryor was one of the writers? Time and place, kids. Time and place. Have a good show. Signed, Lady B. Well, it just got a hell of a lot better, kinda. Because we gotta go, to the news. And our dear friend, my sister, Cynthia, in the Bay Area, says, so, 27 children shot in an elementary school today, 14 dead. We can't have any sort of gun control because of Republicans. Hey, now, Cynthia, that's not fair. It's because of Republicans and Joe Manchin. Anyone and everyone who votes Republican has the blood of all those children on their hands and heads. I'm not real comfortable about any vote I ever cast for Joe Manchin, though God knows they have been precious few. Oh, God, honey, I hope that's not the case. Cynthia says, I'm facing $66,000 in unpaid hospital bill from my dental work under general anesthesia. I may get stuck with it if Medicare refuses to cover. I don't know how this will be resolved or how. Sorry about that, and I sure hope others can kick in. Cynthia, don't you worry about it. We'll be fine. One way or the other, we'll be fine. That took the breath out of me. But on a separate note, it's awfully good to hear from you. I've been worrying because I worry when I don't hear from people that I'm used to hearing from. And I hope you're okay. You are really, really, you're more special to me than you know, Cynthia. Okay, so at least we're off to a start. Thank you. Thank you, Lady B. And thank you, Cecilia. The remainder of Ralph's challenge has been met. And Jack in Shreveport, thank you, Jack, so very much. We are, so let's see, we went and did. Oh, this is complicated because it's so 20. So basically, we're down to 2190 when I reapply Jude's front end of Ralph's challenge, 2190. And then Jack in Shreveport got us down to 2140. Thank you. Thank you, Jack. Thank you. Ron in Raleigh says, no communion, huh? Would that same arrogant priest deny Miss Nancy supreme unction? Extreme unction? Would he keep her out of heaven? That's the kind of shit that made me an atheist. Everybody has a favorite Blazing Saddles line. Ron's is, you want me to shoot that dead Mr. Taggart? Would that pimp you up some? Lord God, there's not a bad one in the bunch. Woof! Those people are darker than we are. You know, Mel Brooks is the... Mm-hmm. But there we are and here we are, and there's no getting away from it. At first, and you know, you begin to identify some details along the way, or some, I don't know, some... process, I mean, praxis maybe? I don't know. But in journalism, they always give you the hopeful news first. The only problem is this is America. Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, forever in the universe under God. Amen. And it's really tough when the good news is that there are two people dead at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. But then you find out the ugly, ugly, ugly reality. Hey, oh, and by the way, that's 50, and thank you, Ralph, 60. We're $60 of the way toward Darlene and Connecticut's challenge. Thank you, Darlene. Thank you, Jack. And thank you, Ralph's. So the good news was that when the NRA's roulette wheel of death stopped in Uvalde, Texas, two people were dead. That didn't last very long. Early reports also said that the, and I've got it right here, the Wall Street Journal reported that the shooter had been taken into custody. The update to that has been changed to the shooter is dead. And with the earlier news, I was prepared to say, well, that's how we know the shooter was white. And, of course, all this comes as we approach the second anniversary of the lynching of George Floyd. Uvalde, Texas, which probably 99.9% of America has never heard of, is about an hour and a half west of San Antonio. The original upbeat version of the story, oh my God, was that Uvalde Memorial Hospital received 13 children from ambulance and buses. And that two people were dead. Then a second hospital Ralph's, I was counting Jack's contribution, not yours. But you added 10, so that means we've got $40 to go on Darlene's challenge. Thank you. Second hospital said, no, we've got one kid and one adult. And they said a 66-year-old woman is in critical condition. They sent 15 units of blood to Uvalde today, did South Texas Blood and Tissue. And information coming out of a hellscape like Texas is always sketchy, but basically an active shooter. Somehow, that kind of Orwellian newspeak just doesn't work for me. How about you? Active shooter. You know, once it's been reported that somebody is dead, you can say that there is. How about homicidal maniac? Or how about lawful gun owner? They tweeted, the Uvalde Consolidated Independent School District, that an active shooter at Robb Elementary, law enforcement is on site. Your cooperation is needed at this time by not visiting the campus. As soon as more information is gathered, it will be shared. Which is another way of saying, as soon as we know just exactly how many people have been slaughtered in the name of the Second Amendment, we'll get back with you. This is past sickening. If you have anything that resembles, and we do in this community, empathy, we got lots of it, then you put yourself, and this is anywhere in America, because remember, this is a country that values guns more than we do children, or anybody else for that matter. This just gets so old. And that's not me complaining. But if you have any empathy, think about the children first and the parents after. Of course, gun-humping Republicans don't give a good goddamn whatsoever about the children. They're already born. They're not a means by which to control the bodies of people who can be pregnant. Because that's what all this abortion business is about, and compulsory theocracy. So, yeah, This is horrifying. 14 students and a teacher, according to Greg Abbott, who would rather himself die than do anything to stop this.
Well, the gunman's also dead. We shot the gunman, so we done our job.
It was earlier this afternoon when they said the suspect was taken into custody. So which is it, Greg Abbott? Was he taken into custody or was he shot dead? Or wait a minute, maybe you shot him dead after you took him into custody. Maybe he was killed trying to rob a Burger King. There was some video. Wasn't particularly helpful, being kind of raw. An individual, a bystander by the name of Isaias Melendez, indicated that there was a small army. CNN uses the word scores, which of course I don't even know how many Americans know that a score is 20. 87 years ago. What do you think the odds are? Scores. So SCORES means 40 or more law enforcement officers. That's a lot. There's a picture of them standing around drinking water under a tree outside the school. I don't know. It's hard enough to talk about this. I don't know how you write a serious and ethical journalism piece on it. I mean, what's your lead on that? Well, here we go again. Or freedom broke out in Uvalde, Texas today. And, of course, Robb Elementary School was the scene of the outbreak of constitutional freedom. Who goes to school at Robb Elementary? Kids in second through fourth grades. It is, of course, a horribly overcrowded school, 535 children. And in that school, I wonder if there's going to be a manifesto. In that school, about 90% of the students are Hispanic. 81% of them are poor. And day after tomorrow is going to be the last day of school before kids got to go out and enjoy the summer. No small amount of pathos there. When I was little and the end of the school year would come, it was, okay, don't have to go to school for 3 months. That's nice. Sleep in, whatever. But there was also a certain amount of wistfulness attached to it, about thinking about all the people you wouldn't see for months. And there is so little information here. That, well, there's not that much to talk about. I mean, we can talk about the fact that there are 13 kids that nobody else in that school will ever see again. 3 months off, or, well, they've got the rest of the time that the universe exists off. Yeah. And of course, that's the same for all of us. However much time we spend alive on this sweet little blue-green marble, hurtling in its helical fashion through the galaxy and through the universe, however long we're alive, we're going to spend a hell of a lot more time dead. Gather ye rosebuds, you know. But the Republicans in Congress aren't very much in touch with gather ye rosebuds while ye may. No. They'd rather gather guns and ammunition. As we can easily see. Heartbreakingly see. Ron in Raleigh, and I know his feelings are as raw as the rest of us are. Mass shootings, it must be all those CRT folks gunning down all those white folks they've made feel bad and guilty. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe some white dude was overwhelmed with his own sense of white grief and... Nah, I can't even go there. No. So, in Buffalo, we had a slaughter of black people. In Uvalde, Texas, we have had a slaughter of more Hispanic people, because you got to remember the Walmart and the white boy who was weaponized by right-wing talking points. And in we will know more about what video games the murderer played than we will know about his weapons in fairly short order, don't you suppose? I mean, we dealt. God damn it. I mean, it's not very good radio for me to just sit here and start crying. Because I don't have a hard time reaching that place anymore. And maybe sometimes manifestations of just pure, unmitigated grief is what we need. And I'm not going to use a dirty word like performative. What will happen in the aftermath of this, especially in that little community, is not performative. I have no doubt that there will be a candlelight vigil. The school will probably be, or maybe the gates in front of it or whatever. Can't get too close. It's a crime scene, y'all. But there will be mounds of flowers and, oh, I don't know, the kind of little candies that kids like to share amongst themselves. One hopes the state of Texas will at least provide grief and counseling services, but come on. Who are we trying to kid? At what? Oh, God, see, there's that question, and there's no sense in asking you, because that was the, what does it take? You know, curiously enough, I saw a remark from somebody up over down under in Australia today. And it made me think. There it is. I'm going to do my Australian accent. I hope our Australian friends will forgive me. Hi, Robert. Hope you're okay. All live, and by the way, there, trigger warning, there's a word in here, okay? There's a word. This tweet is actually a day old. And when I realized it earlier, it gave me a horrifying case of the shudders. But an individual tweeted, "All I have little cultural differences, like how Americans are super offended by the word cunt. But here in Australia, we're super offended by school children being slaughtered with automatic weapons." Careful about the shit we whisper into the ear of the universe. But I still don't like the word. It has an entirely different usage and meaning in the UK and in Oz. It's a weapon word here. But it's true. And to apply it to something Ron and Raleigh brought up a moment ago, there are countless tens of millions of white Americans who will go into absolute frenzied spasms over an educational concept that they don't even understand and that does not exist in elementary or middle or high schools or even undergraduates in college. Critical race theory. They will have an absolute fit over it. But if you try to talk about why these things are happening, you never get any substantive answers. You hear about violent video games, or you hear about mental illness, and yet, of course, I just feel like I'm walking a road I've walked a million times before. They'll talk about mental illness, and then, but we ain't got no money to treat it. And meanwhile, we are in the middle of and on the way toward far worse of a behavioral health crisis in this country that we do not even begin to dream of. The Biden administration had to remind the American people that a million of us are no longer here as the result of an entirely preventable goddamn plague. Oh, wait, we're going to talk about a plague? At what point in time does our firearms fetish qualify as a plague? Leah, New York, summing it up. Active shooter. Thanks for the oxymoron. Sorry, wrong day of the week. Inactive shooters are just not newsworthy. Well, no, inactive shooters are just lawful gun owners. But the minute they... And you know, going back to Buffalo, dude was a lawful gun owner. Probably going to find out that this guy was a lawful gun owner. And years and years and years ago, I came up with this concept that the difference between a lawful gun owner and an awful gun owner is a matter of two things. The absence of one consonant and the space it takes for the trigger to move in order to engage the firing mechanism. That's all. I mean, at any of these funerals, is anybody going to say, yeah, but he was a lawful gun owner? What about the lawful gun owners? Lee added, number words? I doubt Americans know the word score. They probably think a gross of eggs is your collection to throw at Halloween. Too true to be that funny, Lee. Randy Radar with a quote, all the news just repeats itself like some forgotten dream that we've both seen. I think it's a nightmare. Ron and Raleigh points out, along with the two horrid Supreme Court decisions this week, we'll get to them. The soups will, before the end of this term, gut the gun laws in every state, allowing for concealed carry without training or permits. I think I'll invest in body armor. Better safe than sorry. I know. Pricey stuff, that. Well, I wonder if supply chain issues and inflation will... I wonder what they've done to the body armor market. Texas grief counseling? In Texas, does grief counseling constitute somebody looking and saying, well, you know, if your kid had had a gun... And I swear I probably would run screaming out into the yard if I had any form of media on and saw, you know, Rafi Alito, Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, saying, well, you know what would have helped is if and they'd have had more guns. Then them seven-year-olds could have defended themselves. They actively make morons of themselves. And they do so with a shocking degree of, well, pride. Because why? I know there's a lot of pasty-faced, doughy old white men who handle a firearm, and I think they get nerve signals into their penises. But beyond that, I mean, knowing the history of this country, what is the constitutional attraction of firearms? I mean, is it Is it LARPing? Live action role playing? The minute you own a firearm, do you think about how you'd be out there shooting it out with the federales? Or are you Jesse James firing away at the Pinkertons? Hint, in both of those instances, the bad guy is the bad guy with the gun. Really struggling here. I mean, I know the history of the country. You do too. So where is the fascination? Have you ever gone on YouTube and watched any of these firearm reviews? I have. And these dude bros wax positively rhapsodic. And sometimes they incorporate videos of the bullet in super slow-mo penetrating ballistic gelatin. Look at the penetration you got there, and look at the way the bullet tumbles. Well, I tell you what, you can tell that'd do some damage. And when they say do some damage, they're talking about doing damage to human flesh, human lives. And I'm absolutely, I mean, I got nothing. Trump's last words, Scary Jerry writes, after the heavenly mist clears and the blue-eyed, lying demon who ended the world recognizes where, he asks, loudly cries,
why does it smell like weed?
Wait,
God's an actual...
The hell particle instantly fired the Trump to hell, with his frenzied screams echoing through heaven, finally disappearing, Jesus pulling hard on his blunt by the heavenly staircases, stunned. Martin Luther King, Bob Marley, and Barack Obama are laughing so hysterically, no sound is made. Without looking at MLK, he passes him a crisp, heavenly $20 bill. Marty, how'd you know? MLK, tell you, Big J, you may have made those people, but I know those people. J, Prince playing tonight? Bob Marley, yeah, may play it too, big solo. They fist bump and fade into the mist. Barack reappears, birth certificate and hell pass under arm, mindless tapping a materializing pack of cigarettes. Barack, where are you going? Voices in unison asked. To get a light. Besides, I want to see the look of him, an old Rush boat. Rumor is that Trump's getting his old job. Rush is the happy man in hell right now. From the glowing cloud, Jesus Christ, Barack. Dark. Very dark. Don't say there isn't creativity in this community. Oh, my God, Scary Jerry, that's amazing. I hate these events. Because they make my brain go places my brain doesn't want to go. I can hear my... You know, way back in the lizard brain portion of my mind. Oh, we're up to 15 dead now. 15, got 15, got 15. Can I get 15? 15 now. Can I get 16? Can I get 16? Can somebody get to shooter a box of bullets? Box of bullets for number 16. Number 16 on the way. Sold. American. I actually had a program planned for tonight. Oh, well. Curiously, one of the things I wanted to talk about this evening, and Ron and Raleigh has referenced, is this horrifying act of the maniac Supreme Court of the United States. And at this point in time, I will happily say, and I will not retract, that From old Balls and Strikes all the way down to The Handmaid. None of those are any less dangerous, any less vicious than whoever the lawful gun owner was who shot up a school today. It would be improper to take odds on motives. Was he mad at one of the children's mamas? Or was he just some weaponized white kid? Who read just one piece of garbage on 4chan, too many. Notice the careful manner in which they describe shooters. They don't use boy or man. Well, okay, they do, because when it came to the murders in Buffalo, he was an 18-year-old white boy. Boy. Juvenile, immature, not fully formed, brain still developing, boy. Funny how nobody else gets that much, for lack of a better term, grace. Yeah, I'm going to need some help this evening. Like I said, I had planned to talk about the Supreme Court and what they did to indigent defendants, many of whom are actually innocent, this week. The case is referred to, just colloquially, as Martinez-Ramirez. The Martinez-Ramirez case is actually not a case about a single person. It's about two people. It's about two people in prison, one of whom is scheduled to be murdered in the name of the state, and one of whom is, I think they're both death row. And the case arises out of that hellscape that gave us the likes of Paul Gosar, the demon dentist of the desert. I'm talking about Arizona Stan. So the two cases basically involve the same issue. So in the name of judicial economy, the wild-eyed right-wing maniacs decided to fuck both men with one case. Like I said, I'm kind of struggling here. The Supreme Court cases can get kind of esoteric. But the cases are habeas corpus cases. They are cases of what is called post-conviction remedies. And up until this thing, this nightmare was handed down, and Lord God Almighty, you want to talk about hopping mad. Oh, Sonia Sotomayor is mad enough to chew raw iron ore and spit out white hot rivets. She wrote The Descent. The bottom line is, in the case of Barry Jones, well, Barry Jones got railroaded for the murder of a 4-year-old child. And this isn't some sort of bleeding heart liberal assertion. There is almost no question but that the man is not guilty. He's so not guilty that not only is he just not guilty, he's innocent of the charge. But this week, in Ramirez, the Supreme Court of the United States said, fuck it, kill him anyway. It's not like he's a fetus or something. There's that old thing that they taught in law school, and I imagine they still do. I'll bet you Billable Rick and Darlene and Steve all heard this just like I did. Hard cases make bad law. Well, this is not one of those cases. This is an easy case making bad law. Rachel Gray was 4 years old in 1995 when Barry Jones was convicted of murdering her and sentenced to death in Arizona Stan. What happened was the little girl, 4 years old, had a laceration to her small intestine. And it hurt so bad. And because of that laceration, eventually toxic fluids flowed from her the laceration in her small intestine into her body, went systemic, and she died of the infection. Now, here's where it gets complicated. The reason the prosecution in Arizona decided to pin it on Barry Jones was because Mama left Barry Jones to take care of her for a little while, about 4 hours, on May the 1st, 1994. Twelve hours later, the little girl was dead. And medical expert after medical expert after medical expert has made it abundantly clear that that kind of injury does not kill inside of 12 hours. It doesn't kill 4-year-olds inside of 12 hours, and it doesn't kill 40-year-olds inside of 12 hours. Nationally known forensic pediatric pathologists have said outright that what happened to little Rachel Gray could not possibly have been inflicted on the day prior to her death. And then and this is part of what makes this case so awful, other evidence was discovered and determined that showed that Rachel Gray had an abusive grandmother, mother, Angela Gray, was an abusive, and she did 8 years in prison for child abuse. Rachel Gray's brother was a sexual predator who preyed on little girls. But most tellingly, before she died, the little 4-year-old said a boy hit her in the stomach with a metal bar, which was more than capable of causing this injury. Here's the problem. None of this was developed at trial. Because Barry Jones had court-appointed counsel in a state that limits, severely limits, the resources with which court-appointed counsel can develop their case, their defense. And being overworked and understaffed and under-resourced, none of the things that I've just mentioned got brought up at trial. So then you hit the second layer of eight balls, because Barry Jones was most assuredly behind the eight ball. Because when you go to trial, you try the case as best you can, but the Sixth Amendment says that a criminal defendant, even an indigent one, has a right to competent counsel. Effective counsel is the way it's put. Effective counsel. So you get tried. Your lawyer is not effective. Your lawyer is not competent. Your lawyer is not good. Your lawyer has no way of mounting a zealous and vigorous defense. And you get, the jury says guilty, and the judge says fry him. Okay, we'll appeal the case. Here's the problem. The evidence that we have just talked about has still not been developed. And even if the evidence was in hand, the appellate court still couldn't consider it because the appellate court is limited in our system of injustice to only considering the record of the trial court. They cannot look outside the boundaries of the trial court record. Okay, so Barry Jones loses again. Well, there's another process inside our system of criminal injustice that recognizes these pair of eight balls behind which indigent defendants often find themselves trapped. And so they've been convicted, they've lost the appeal, they've been sentenced to death, they're sitting in prison. And we have something called, you know, and it's all the way back to the Constitution, something called habeas corpus. And the another term more broad, post-conviction remedies. So you file a post-conviction habeas. And you bring out the information that you have, and you talk about the ineffective assistance of counsel. That is a constitutional claim. And in theory, the way it's supposed to work is the court can say, looks like we need a new trial. Not after yesterday, it doesn't mean that. It should come as no surprise to anybody who watches this gang of homicidal maniacs that the gang got hold of this case and another case and both cases involve men condemned to death row. And in terms of criminal post-conviction remedies, this is every bit as ugly in that realm as what's coming in Dobbs is in the realm of women's reproductive rights. What's coming there in Dobbs, well, that's the handiwork of Sammy Bad Breath. This opinion, however, as Ron and Raleigh points out, is the work of Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas, whose wife is an insurrectionist. Slappy wrote the decision, Ron reminds us. Do you think that miscreant will lose a minute's sleep causing an innocent man's death? Remember, Fat Dead Tony said there's nothing in the Constitution that says you can't execute an innocent man. And this is what we've come to. Oh, hell, Ron, I bet Slappy was thinking fondly about what Fat Ted Dead Tony said and maybe even had a hand under his robe while he was doing it. So, at trial, Jones's lawyers don't put out the evidence at the appeal. They can't. And, well, with this case, the Supreme Court, via Slappy Thomas, with the eager participation from a bloodthirsty majority. And I'm sure that none of the well-heeled millionaires of the for-profit media would ever refer to a bloodthirsty majority. That just wouldn't be cricket now, would it? Doesn't mean they wouldn't be. So, Slappy says, well, we'd probably get a new trial if we don't change the law, so we need to change the law, because I want to see this fucker die. By the way, the other person in this case, Ramirez, yeah, there's strong evidence that he is intellectually disabled, and under the ruling in Atkins versus Virginia some 20 years ago, states aren't allowed to execute the intellectually disabled. Nope. Because Slappy says federal courts can't toss out state convictions because states' rights. He should have had a new trial. He will not get a new trial. He will die instead an innocent man. Like I said, Sonia Sotomayor was hotter than fish grease. She said, the Sixth Amendment guarantees criminal defendants the right to the effective assistance of counsel at trial. This court has recognized that right as a bedrock principle that constitutes the very foundation for our adversary system of criminal justice. Too damn bad. Because Slappy doesn't see that as being the purpose of a trial. He says the presence of habeas corpus in the federal constitution constitutes an impermissible imposition of the federal court system upon the state's ability to prosecute crimes. Or as he puts it, enforce societal norms through criminal law. It also, he says, disturbs the state's significant interest in repose for concluded litigation. So once it's over, and it doesn't matter how innocent the individual is. If he dies, he dies. People die every day. We don't give a shit. They're not fetuses. They're not pre-born. Fuck them. And that is, that's truly horrible. And it's worth noting that all the way back to 1993, Slappy and Fat Tony, who was not yet Fat Dead Tony, agreed that the Constitution contains no basis for, quote, a right to demand judicial consideration of newly discovered evidence of innocence brought forward after conviction. In 1993, he and Fat Dead Tony were writing by themselves. now, Slappy and Sammy Bad Breath, they're the elder statesmen of the court. And the little pledges and plebes like Ann's boy Neil and Brat and the handmaid, well, they can go along or they can get hazed. This is just, you know, well, what this is the appetizer before we get the Dobbs decision. I wonder if the Dobbs decision sort of anesthetized us to just how pernicious this is. If this case, Martin Ramirez, had come out without the leak of Dobbs, you think it might have generated, oh, even a little bit more outrage? Because there's no getting away from the fact that this is an outrageous decision. And again, this was not a case of first impression. This was not a novel case. This was this Supreme Court getting a chance to overturn settled law. Not just one case, but two cases. Settled law. No question left about it. But stare decisis, means nothing to these thugs. They have killed, and they will kill again. They gutted Atkins versus Virginia. They gutted Martinez versus Ryan. They gutted Trevino versus Fowler. And I guess that they just assume that there will never be any innocent Republicans. What am I talking about? Republicans charged with things. Quit it. Silly girl. So that, along with what's going on in Uvalde, Texas, that's what starts our conversation this evening. Dudette says, Lady B, sorry for my cluelessness earlier. I was writing you and listening to music. I had no idea. Don't worry. You're fine. Lady B asks, do you think the shooter was quiet and kept to himself? Where are the pics of a toothless, grinning six-year-old? Maybe he was just misunderstood. Whatever the case, he was an innocent victim caught up in video games and violent movies. He probably suffered from mental illness, too, and needs understanding. Of course the liberals will blame the guns. Poor guns. But we need more guns to protect us from the gangs. We know who's in the gangs, right? Getting shot in Walmart or King Supers is just a fluke. It was those people's time anyway. The real violence is going to come from the black guy jogging home with his wireless headphones on. Fuck, 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 fuck. I can't go into the store. I like going to the store. But I can't. There's no stopping this. Fuck! And Tucker Carlson needs to fucking go. Fire him, shame him, send him to Russia, but please stop this maniac. Stop Fox News, they'll get us killed. Don't y'all get it? Conservative governors hate you. Your whiteness will not protect you anymore. America, wake the fuck up! My God, we're fucked. You think I'm being hyperbolic? We can't live in fear. But it shouldn't be this way. This isn't freedom. This is madness on a third world level. Oh, it is, Lady B. It is. And, you know, I can't read, you know, third world level. And I think about the story last night about Senator Cassidy from Louisiana stand saying, well, you know, our maternal death rate wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't for all the black people screwing up our numbers, all them black women. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I mean, it's just true. I mean, them black women, they die a lot deader after they've had a baby than white women do. I don't know why that is. Sorry about all the noises. Is it, but, huh. Yeah, Lee in New York says, stop it, Robin. There's no settled law to SCOTUS. They hold no truths to be self-evident. Oh, yes, they do, Lee. One truth is self-evident. And that is they are created more, is that all of us are created equal, but some of them are more equal than us. Straight out of Animal Farm. So if you want to get some conversation going, I'm really open to it. We have... thank you, Henry. We have met Darlene's challenge. So we are back under $2,000. We have finished funding one show of the vast deficit that we have. We're back around 1990. Thanks for all you've done so far. May is going to be over soon. Remember, we'll be missing at least one program in May. Because, hard to believe, but the horn in is almost here. And I'm working on the menu. And Annette's working with me as well. And I think we're going to do some good eating. Do a real Friday on the front porch. Everybody gathered together and talking away. It's going to be fun. It's going to be cool. And that starts on everybody will be arriving on Thursday, June the 2nd, and then the real fun and frivolity will start on Friday, June the 3rd. Can't wait to see everybody. Look, let's get some conversation going. Or else, I don't know, I may just spend the next couple of hours bawling. In America, Matt in San Francisco says, freedom means freedom to be shot. Our black brothers and sisters have even more freedom. Us white folks have to watch out at supermarkets, church, the gym, a concert. Black folks have all that as well as driving, sleeping in their own bed, walking, jogging, buying Skittles. Really, the list is endless. And somehow this must end. And that's the eternal question, is how do we make it end? It was the damnedest thing. Yesterday, the 23rd of May, I mentioned this on Twitter, and I've told you I have these bizarre dreams. Sunday night, I went to sleep, not even thinking about any of this. And I had a dream about a girl that I knew 35 years ago. And we came that close to getting married. But we didn't. And we remained very, very close and dear friends. And several years ago, I called to just wish her well on her birthday. And her husband called me back and told me she had passed away. And so Sunday night I went to bed and dreamt of her. Just as alive as you and me, and she told me that she was happy. And that she was okay. And she really was happy. And it's one of those dreams where you wake up with kind of a smile on your face. It was nice. It was pleasant. And then I looked at the calendar and I realized it was her birthday. Oof. And so thinking about her, I was just looking around on the internet, and I found a picture. Her dad was a great journalist. And I found a picture of him in the background during the struggle for civil rights. He's in the background as a photo of a grand dragon on a cigarette. See what I did there? Because he had covered the viciousness of the Klan and their murderous ways, and did so brilliantly. He watched the ugliness and the shenanigans go on in the Georgia State House in Atlanta. Watched white men climb the walls to stop the hands of a clock from being able to end the legislative session so that they could continue to try to keep white supremacy the law of the state of Georgia. And it was just kind of a weird little process. And in theory, race-based violence was supposed to have ended. No, it didn't. Passing the Civil Rights Act did not stop race-based violence in the least. No. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope I am wrong that, I mean, it's not a good answer. It's not a better ending. But when you've got a school with that's 81% Hispanic, and it's primarily a school that serves poor kids, God, that's tailor-made for some little asshole who's been sitting around reading 4chan. Getting his mind prepared for murder. I don't know. 15 dead. Steve in New York says, clearly we need to make sure all kids carry a handgun. Someone will make that argument with a straight face. And I'm not going to be responsible for anything I throw when I find out that or anything. Any really vulgar words that I utter when that happens. So let's take a little break. It is, after all, Tuesday, so we've got Brad and Desi in the Green News Report. Let's see. we've got as much as we've covered so far. Let's find out what's happening to this poor little planet of ours. Jump in if you want to converse.
It's Tuesday, May 24, 2022.
Australians have chosen a government that will act on climate change.
Big win for climate and living things in Australia's national elections. Global warming made record South Asia heatwave more likely and much worse. Plus, grid regulator warns most of the U.S. is at risk of blackouts this summer.
Oh, fantastic. All of those stories and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
Oh, beautiful for smoggy skies, insecticided green, for strip mined mountains, majesty above the asphalt plain. America, America, man sheds his waste on thee and hides the pines with billboard signs from sea to oily sea.
Thank you, George Carlin. You are missed. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, we've got some actual good news today in the Green News Report. So knowing you, you're probably going to leave it till the end.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
First, the bad news.
Right.
Another round of early extreme heat walloped the eastern seaboard of the United States over the weekend, and that came along with a warning. A new assessment by U.S. grid regulator, the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, warns that extreme temperatures and ongoing drought could cause the power grid to buckle in vast swaths of the country, potentially leading to electricity shortages and blackouts.
So because the heat this year will be worse than it has been in previous years, that is what it's going to do in the electric grid?
Yes, it stresses the equipment. And the assessment blames climate change because NOAA has forecast a hotter than average summer for the U.S. this year. That will strain equipment, and because drought conditions threaten water supplies that are used to cool off thermal power plants across the Midwest. So keep that in mind. Now is a great time to get prepared.
Yeah, good luck.
Russia is again using energy as a weapon. Russia shut off natural gas deliveries to Finland over the weekend in retaliation for Finland applying for membership in NATO and because Finland refused Russia's new demand that it now pay in rubles.
And I suspect Finland doesn't even care.
They do not. Finland's state-owned gas wholesaler says it has been preparing for this exact situation since before Russia invaded Ukraine and expects to have ample supply, barring any disruptions in gas transmission, like, say, a cyber attack on a pipeline.
Uh-oh.
The intense months-long heat wave that has been gripping India and Pakistan was made 30 times more likely because of man-made global warming. That's according to a new assessment by climate scientists at the World Weather Attribution Network. Global warming made the record-setting early heat wave in South Asia hotter and 30 times more likely than a similar event would have been in pre-industrial times. The heat wave caused at least 90 deaths across India and Pakistan, triggered forest fires and floods from fast-melting glaciers in the Himalayas, and stunted India's wheat crop, helping to fuel an emerging global food crisis. The scientists warn that future heat waves will likely be even hotter and occur even more frequently than today unless governments act to curb emissions.
And of course they won't.
Some good news. A new report by the International Energy Agency finds that global sales of electric cars hit 2 million in the first 3 months of 2022, not quite double over the same period of last year. But less good news, the IEA shows that the U.S. is still playing catch-up, still falling behind global EV market leaders China and Europe in expanding battery supply chains and EV manufacturing. Most advanced batteries today are sourced from Asia. And finally, some great news for people and things that live and breathe in Australia, where voters overcame a relentless barrage of climate disinformation from Rupert Murdoch's media empire to oust the conservative Australian government in favor of the left-leaning Labor Party that had pledged swift action on climate change to cut Australia's emissions and expand renewable energy. Out is abrasive conservative coal-promoting Prime Minister Scott Morrison, who once brandished a lump of coal in Parliament to attack climate policy, and who also pushed expansion of coal mining and exports. Polls show climate was a top concern for voters after a slew of record-breaking bushfires and flood disasters since the last election just 3 years ago. Here's new Labor Prime Minister Anthony Albanese.
We have an opportunity now to end the climate wars in Australia. Australian business know that good action on climate change is good for jobs and good for our economy. And I want to join the global effort.
It matters because Australia right now has the least ambitious plans of all of the developed nations to address the climate crisis.
That is good news, but until they kick out Rupert Murdoch, until we kick out Rupert Murdoch, the climate wars, I'm afraid, are never going to end.
Good point.
For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report. I come from a land on a love. Read us low and mention love. Can you hear the thunder? You know, there really is. There's something to be said for our friends, the Australians.
they're capable of learning. Really. The Port Arthur massacre happened, and they did something about guns, and no more Port Arthur massacre. They haven't had Port Arthur 2.0. They watched their continent burn and decided maybe conservatism, which they called liberal because, you know, they're upside down. Sorry. Was not getting them anywhere, so they they sacked them. Now, they did this a little while back, too, and then the oil companies and the coal companies had a shit hemorrhage, and that's how we wound up with SCOMO, or they wound up, we, wishful thinking, wound up with SCOMO. Maybe this time it'll stick, but I guarantee you that this new government will be no sooner in place then the oil and coal and gas interests will be going apeshit bananas again, screaming about how they're killing. Yeah, they're killing Australia. They're taking away all Australian freedom, all Australian heritage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, but you know, really, good on you. Good on you for trying, Australian voters. Would that we were, you know, as intelligent. Trey got in on the great Blazing Saddles quote fest. Yeah. Reminding me, of course, that we've used one of those, a quote from that film for years on Mondays. These are people of the land. The common clay of the New West. You know, morons. Mm-hmm. Pardon the hiccups. I still occasionally use one of those nicotine pouches and oh, well. Hopefully we'll get through. Where do you want to go from here? Oh, wait, where do we go from here? That was a, that was an Alan Parsons Project tune, wasn't it? Oh, and we do have a follow-up. Lady B, in her note at the beginning of the program, mentioned Archbishop Salvatore Corleone and his conscienceless and, frankly, scofflaw attempt to use religion as a cudgel against the Speaker of the House of the United States. She's so good at what she does. She showed up on my filthy morning habit this morning as I was getting ready to go to the doctor. Yep, it's a UTI. Fun. I've learned about doxycycline today and pyridium. That was a blast. I haven't seen colors like that since I quit dropping acid. That's okay. I tried that line out on our pal Joy in Ann Arbor, and she giggled, so I figured I'd use it here, too. Yeah, it's called workshopping comedy. But talking to Joe and Mika, she said to, we just have to be prayerful. We have to be respectful. I come from a largely pro-life Italian-American Catholic family, so I respect people's views about that, but I don't respect, and this is the key part, and this shows you that she gets it, I don't respect us foisting it onto others. And And then she taught a, oh, I don't know, let's call it a homily, shall we? She taught a homily to the most reverend Archbishop Salvatore J. Cordiglione. And it mentioned to him, you know, I wonder about the death penalty, which I'm opposed to. So's the church, but they take no action against people who may not share their view. Ouch. You know, really, and hey, little golf clap for Miss Nancy. Our Archbishop has been vehemently against LGBTQ rights, too. This decision is very dangerous in the lives of so many of the American people. Good. Make it sting, Nancy. Oh, and by the way, I should probably mention, well, I've alluded to the fact that Ohio is in the midst of its Alabamacization. That's got a sting for, you know, civilized people in Ohio. Because they've almost word for word adopted Alabama's attack on trans kids. And of course, guess who's right there smack dab in the middle of the assault on trans kids? That's right. The Roman Catholic Church of Ohio. Anybody surprised? Anybody at all? Because I'm not. There was a... there was a news article in, the Cleveland paper. Fact-checking claims about gender-affirming care. News 5 Cleveland, the ABC affiliate, got most of it right. They call it the Save Adolescents from Experimentation Act, the SAFE Act. And oddly enough, dangerous drugs and experimental drugs and what's happening to our children were all terms that were used by none other than Bill Maher last Friday night. I briefly referenced my little essay in which I said Bill Maher is a cranky old man trapped in the body of a cranky old man. A moderate Republican trapped in the body of a dope-smoking Californian. Well, let's see. And like I said, it's just like Alabama prohibits blockers, and encourages children to commit suicide. Speaking out against the bill are University Hospitals, Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital, the Ohio Children's Hospital Association, the Ohio Psychological Association. And that's just a sampling of all the professional associations that have said, y'all are fucking stupid. But, and here's the list of, and if you want to understand power mapping in a place like Ohio, this is the way to do it. Look at who's supporting tormenting trans kids in Ohio. The Center for Christian Virtue. The Alliance Defending Freedom. And, of course, the Catholic Conference of Ohio. You know, one of the assholes said, these hospitals that they're supposed to be able to trust are pushing these dangerous drugs on kids. No, yeah. These puberty-blocking drugs are sterilizing children for life. They don't do that. You know what? If they sterilized children for life, they wouldn't be giving them to little cis kids to stop precocious puberty. But again, once again, the Roman Catholic Church, the Christians, getting it all wrong. But who is the Ohio legislature going to listen to? Are they going to listen to medical professionals Well, did they listen to medical professionals when they were taking up their heartbeat bill? Of course not. So they're not going to listen to medical professionals when they talk about the best way to keep trans kids from committing suicide either. No, they're going to listen to the Alliance Defending Freedom and the Concerned Christian Values Amalgamated Association of Ohio and the Catholic Conference of Ohio. You know why? Because those people give a lot more money. It's a better dollar. But nationwide, on the matter of choice, a majority of even Roman Catholics support a woman's right to choose whether she's Catholic or not. But the central part of what Nancy Pelosi said is absolutely true. The Roman Catholic Church is trying to force non-Roman Catholics to adopt Roman Catholic doctrine and dogma. And I don't have a problem at all saying, because it's true, that that is un-American. And I'm sure this will be the latest the latest hissy that hits right-wing media. The United States military doesn't do anything without studying it. And so the Pentagon appointed a commission to look into the names of 9 Army bases in the U.S. that just happened to be named after treasonous Confederates. Fort Bragg, and one of those is Fort Bragg, named after a hideous right-wing, or hideous Confederate general. Yeah, he was a right-winger. Named Braxton Bragg. It's going to be renamed Fort Liberty, according to the recommendation. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is in charge of approving the 9 recommendations. John Bell Hood was a Confederate general, and Fort Hood in Texas is named for him. It's not going to be if I hope Lloyd Austin does the right thing. Fort Rucker in Alabama, no. Fort Polk in Louisiana, Fort Benning, Fort Gordon, Fort A.P. Hill, Fort Lee, and Fort Pickett. Those are all going to have the treason taken out of their names. And I think, you know, just as someone with January 6th in recent memory, I think taking the treason out of American military base names is a really good idea. How about you? So, in Georgia, Fort Gordon is going to be renamed, and how can anybody argue with this, Fort Eisenhower. A former president and the general who led the invasion of Fortress Europa. Fort Hood in Texas is going to become Fort Cavazos, named for the first Hispanic man to reach the level of 4-star general in the Army. This seems far more appropriate. Fort Lee, this is interesting. Fort Robert E. Lee. And I'm sorry, I hope when the news broke that Robert E. Lee had to fillet another murder hornet in hell. Fort Lee is going to be named after Arthur Gregg, who is a former 3-star general who is a logistics specialist. But it's going to be, I guess, Fort Gregg Adams. And the Adams in Fort Gregg Adams is for Charity Adams. She's the first African-American woman who was elevated to commissioned officer status in the Women's Army Auxiliary Corps. Good. Lay it on with a will. You little imps and demons. Make him sting. Robert Lee. Fort Pickett, of course, in Virginia, is named for a general for whom a charge at Gettysburg was named, Pickett's Charge. Fort Pickett, George Pickett, was famous for the fact that he oiled his curling locks of long hair. We see you, George. You were valid. Well, it's not going to be Fort Pickett anymore. I mean, after all, he was a loser. That's the thing. All of these Confederates were losers! It's going to be... Fort Pickett is going to be Fort Van Barfoot. Van Barfoot received the Congressional Medal of Honor for his heroism during World War II. Van Barfoot was an indigenous American. A.P. Hill. A.P. Hill was another loser. Another traitor. Among other things, he was a subordinate to Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson. Well, it's not going to be Fort A.P. Hill in Virginia anymore. It's going to be Fort Walker. Dr. Mary Walker was a doctor, obviously. And she was also an activist for women's rights when those were a lot more scarce. She got the Medal of Honor from the federal government for service she rendered to the Union during the Civil War. We're going to rename Fort Benning, Georgia, after the guy that Mel Gibson played in We Were Soldiers, Lieutenant General Hal Moore, and his wife will also be part of the naming, Fort Moore and Moore. General Moore was Air Cav, and his wife Julia raised enough hell that the casualty notification system was significantly improved. Then there's Fort Rucker in Alabama. We're going to take the treason out of that name, too. Instead, Michael Novosel will be honored with that name. He got the Medal of Honor for combat missions that he flew in World War II, as well as Korea and Vietnam. And then Fort Polk, Louisiana, named after another shitty Confederate general, is going to become Fort William Henry Johnson, a World War II hero who did not even receive the Medal of Honor that he richly deserved until 2015. Sign the papers, Secretary Austin. Remove the stain of treason. From these installations. I know Jeremy in Vermont says, but names, they're removing our history, just like their great leaders removed from New Orleans in the dead of night. Glad to see this crap erased. Look, remember them in the history books for the fucking losers that they were. I mean, after all, it beats the hell out of having to rename all nine bases Fort Loser. That could get confusing. Fort Cheese-Eating Surrender Monkey?
That's just too much of a mouthful. And we go back to Ahia for this one with a clip I never got to while I was gone. But somewhere, insofar as this program, the archive of this program, is a sort of a living history, I'm sure many of you have heard this by now, but nonetheless, this is Lord, the goddess of irony. Sometimes she just really gets dolled up and goes out and does her work. W decided to give a speech about how awful Russia is. Oh, W, sit this one out, buddy. You should have sought this one out. But he didn't. And the goddess of irony took note. And he got owned.
In contrast, Russian elections are rigged. Political opponents are imprisoned or otherwise eliminated from participating in the electoral process.
Oh, Jesus, I forgot to tell you to get the hockey puck and the duct tape and the cheap tequila and the swirly straw. And ready, set, go.
The result is an absence of checks and balances in Russia and the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq.
Ah! That was not doctored. That's not a deep fake. That's W.
I mean, of Ukraine.
And then the little... I killed a million of them. He ain't got to a million yet.
Iraq, too. Anyway. 75.
And did you hear all the Republicans just laughing because he's an adorable old war criminal now, isn't he? Yes. It's just charming. Old Peepaw Bush. It's almost enough to make you think he has a hard time looking in the mirror. Nah. You have to have a conscience for that. Well, like I said, we go to Ohio for this story. It was earlier today when Shihab Ahmed Shihab, a 52-year-old man who's been living in Columbus, Ohio, in Taliban Indianapolis, he got to the U.S. in 2020, and... apparently, the FBI talked him into saying that he sure would like to kill that George W. Bush. This is one of those FBI stories. This is from USA Today via Big Truck. He was... He allegedly pursued a plan to smuggle operatives affiliated with the Islamic State terrorist group into the country to murder W. That is a very busy little piece of a sentence, isn't it? Pursued a plan to smuggle operatives that's downright Iraq war language. What was it, weapons of mass destruction plan type. It went on for three. In short, there were no weapons of mass destruction. And he was going to smuggle ISIS members into the country to bump off W. And the tip here is when two law enforcements tell USA Today, Bush was never in any jeopardy. Then there's Freddie Ford, the chief of staff for W, who said, and President Bush has all the... Ford, really? Please tell me. What do you want to bet? Related to... Nah. President Bush has all the confidence in the world in the U.S. Secret Service and our law enforcement and intelligence communities. There's always reference in here to how the defendant was dressed. Shihab, who wore a charcoal Reebok shirt and handcuffs, I'm guessing maybe the charcoal shirt was his choice, the handcuffs were not. They charged him with assisting an alien entering the United States for financial gain and aiding and abetting the attempted murder of George W. Bush. Hold the hell on! I watch the news every day. I read everything coming and going. So do you. When did we miss the attempted murder of George W. Bush? Shh. We didn't. And then deep, deep, deep into the story, we get, you know, the actual account. The FBI, using two confidential informants, had allegedly communicated with Shihab since April 2021. He entered the United States in March of 2021, a month before April 2021, when a couple of skeevy, sketchy FBI informants, probably with something hanging over their heads too, said, hey buddy, you want to kill George W. Bush? Well, they allegedly communicated with Shihab in April 2021, and when he discussed his desire to smuggle up to, again with the numbers, up to six Iraqi nationals through the Mexican border in exchange for tens of thousands of dollars per person. Who was offering the tens of thousands of dollars, and why aren't we reading about their indictment? Oh, wait, those were the informants. Oh, Jesus, this is pathetic. Shihab advised CS1, confidential source, that they wished to kill former President Bush because they felt that he was responsible for killing many Iraqis and breaking apart the entire country of Iraq, the court documents state. That takes a little bit of brass, doesn't it? So after the rat thinks, the hired help, as it were, said, you know, we're gonna import some Iraqis and you know, he killed a million Iraqis, didn't he? Yeah, he sure did. That pissed me off. Yeah, had family that would still be alive if it wasn't for George starting the war. Well, hey, you want to be in on it? And then the confidential informant says, I want to be in on it, and I don't care if I die. I'd be proud to be involved in killing former President Bush. And this is all offered up as a quote, and I just can't hear it in my own head, can you? And then in March, one of the skunks gave Shihab samples of firearms, including an M16. And some U.S. Border Patrol uniforms. And that's when Shihab says, yeah, that's great, but can you get me some grenade launchers to go with the M16? And the skunk said, yeah, sure, why not? They're all imaginary anyway. So the FBI confesses that they gave weapons to Shihab, but they were all just toys. So old dude there couldn't tell the difference between a real M16 and a fake M16. Not to put too fine a point on it, but when a bloodthirsty white 18-year-old man in upstate New York, he can tell the difference between a real AR-15 and a fake AR-15. And you get way, 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 way down in the article when you finally get to whether Shahab had the wherewithal to carry out such a scheme is in question. One of the informants financed Shahab's travel to Dallas after the suspect indicated that car trouble scuttled his plan to drive from Ohio to Texas. Oh, man, I really wanted to go. But, you know, shit. Broke a tie rod. I know, wrong accent. Well, that's okay. We got a pay no attention to that them FBI letters on the side of the door, okay? And for this nefarious plot, he's looking at 10 years hard time on the immigration charge and 20 years hard time for wanting to try to kill George W. Bush. Sounds like they really didn't have much of a statute to hang their hats on there. Well, that's okay. I mean, come on. It's not like there are literally 12,000 people who participated in a right-wing insurrection against constitutional governance in the United States. Why, you know, yeah, we can spare a handful of FBI agents and a couple of sketchy snitches. Sure, put them on it. Be good press. You almost feel sorry for Assistant U.S. Attorney Jessica Knight. She had to be the one who announced this laugh riot. Hey, let's make Jessica do it. We made the girl do it. Yeah, it is. Randy in PA says, that's like the New York subway shooter who left his wallet and car keys at the scene. Not exactly a compelling kind of story. A little bit of good news. Forbes reporting that the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled today against Maddie Maidenform Cawthorn. It's okay, Maddie. We see you. You're valid. The Fourth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals holding that it should be easier than it was made for people to try to disqualify a candidate for being an insurrectionist. Appeals Court Judge Toby J. Haytens, a Biden appointee, and oddly enough, we've talked about this. You know, remember the maggot judge who threw out the insurrectionist suit saying that the 14th Amendment's language was nullified by the 1872 Amnesty Act? By the way, an act of Congress can't overrule an actual constitutional right. Well, Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals Judge Toby J. Haytens said that the 1872 Amnesty Act only applied to ex-Confederates and does not stop future candidates like Cawthorn from being disqualified, thereby overturning the maggot judge below. Now, he didn't say anything about whether Maddie is an insurrectionist, and well, I guess this is kind of mooted out now that Maddie's lost his primary. But it actually makes it, well, it takes away an argument that's been made in regard to legislators in Arizona and in Georgia. Judge Haytens wrote, "This ruling cements the growing judicial consensus that the 1872 Amnesty Act does not shield the insurrectionists of January 6, 2021, including Donald Trump, from the consequences of their actions under the 14th Amendment, and provides no basis to block state proceedings seeking to exclude insurrectionists from the ballot." That was a quote from Free Speech for People. They brought the challenge. Well, here's hoping they can make the same argument in places like Georgia and Arizona stand. And by the way, we have crossed into the third hour of the program. Looks like this is going to turn into a three-hour filler obster. And we have such a long way to go to try to save this little network in its 18th year. We are at, what, 1990 to go? 1990, yeah. Thanks to everybody who has jumped in. God, there is so much stuff. We're coming up on that time of year. It's Pride time. And out where our dear friend Matt is, there's a bit of a kerfuffle taking place. San Francisco Chronicle reporting that San Francisco cops are going to protest the San Francisco Pride Parade because the board of directors of San Francisco Pride have said, listen, would you at least not wear your uniforms? Because, well, we talked about Gene Compton's cafeteria and the legacy of how Pride was born. West Coast, Compton's Cafeteria, East Coast, Stonewall. The last Pride Parade in 2019 saw a tense confrontation between the cops and demonstrators against the cops. Then by the time 2020 rolled around, you had the lynching of George Floyd, the slaughter of Breonna Taylor, and all the other names that go with all of that. New York cops don't wear their unis to New York Pride. Same in Toronto. And so, but no, the San Francisco cops, they want to wear their uniforms and remind people marching in Pride that, my God, they had a hand in the foundation of Pride too, even if they were on the wrong side of history. We, the police officers of the San Francisco Police Officers Pride Alliance, stand firm in our decision that we will not be pushed back into the closet. What the fuck? Huh? Nobody's trying to push you back into the closet or ask you to detransition. Because, you know, never mind. That just doesn't make any sense. And the San Francisco Fire Department signed off on it, too. And the cops were pissed because nobody asked the San Francisco Fire Department not to wear their uniforms. But then again, how many members of the San Francisco Fire Department pose an active threat to the lives and well-being of members of the LGBTQQIA+ community, huh? There ain't no cop closet. Just show up in your street clothes. Or, you know, whatever else you want to wear. It's Pride. God. The San Francisco Chronicle article, but throughout their joint statement, the law enforcement and fire officials invoked language that cast the prohibition on uniforms as a form of oppression and discrimination, anathema to Pride's embrace of radical inclusion. This committee would not order the leather community. I knew there'd be a leather reference. Get it. Asking cops not to wear active reminders of the viciousness that necessitated the Pride movement. This committee would not order the leather community to wear polyester at the parade. This committee would not order the drag community to wear flannel. Well, honey, flannel can be sexy. I've got a corduroy nightgown. But they've told us peace officers that if we wear our uniforms, we may not attend. Did nobody tell him to read the room? Holy shit. But it's getting ugly because not only has the San Francisco Fire Department said they're going to boycott Pride, so has the mayor, London Breed, and so has the city supervisor. That city supervisor part. There's a history there. But I'm sorry, San Francisco cops trying to pogo stick up onto a rainbow-colored cross is just... Oh, well. Poor little snowflakes. Hey, thanks, y'all. Things are getting better. Thank you, Mary Bell. Thank you so much. And thank you, George. Thank you. That means we are down now to 1890. Around 6 days of unfunded radio at this point. Thank you. Cop closet. Sometimes you see one of these, and even in the midst of all the horror that is our world, you just, yeah, thanks. Because that, how Titanic Tuesday is that? We would not ask the leather community to wear polyester or the drag queens to wear flannel. Flannel. That just slays me. Well, there's another. Yeah, no kidding. Ralph says, Lassie, call the Beverly Hillbillies and the sheriff. Tell Jethro to bring a ladder. Nothing gets a white winger worked up quite like Stacey Abrams saying something that's true. She recently said of Georgia, "I'm tired of hearing how we're the best state in the country to do business when we're the worst place to live." Well, I mean, we've got audio from CNN.
Said she's getting a lot of blowback from Republicans. Here it is.
"I am tired of hearing about being the best state in the country to do business when we are the worst state in the country to live."
Alabama is going to say, "Hold my beer, Ms. Abrams." Oh, my. Cue the snowflake blizzard. And this, in turn, caused a right-winger, a Republican, because, of course, to tell her, no, not kidding, to tell Stacey Abrams to go back where she came from. Georgia? No, Africa. Good God. And so, having gotten all that blowback, Stacey Abrams decided to whip on him some more. "Hit him again, Stacey. Put a little stank on it this time, would you?"
"I'm running because I believe in one Georgia where everyone can thrive. And today is the beginning of the next phase of this campaign where we fight together for one Georgia and we win. I will say this. I have listened to Republicans for the last 6 months attack me, but they've done nothing to attack the challenges facing Georgia. They've done nothing to articulate their plans for the future of Georgia. In 2018, voters across the state were denied access to the right to vote. They were denied the ability to register and stay on the rolls. They were denied the ability to cast a ballot and the ability to have that ballot counted. I am not entitled to victory. And this election, the 2018 challenges were never about me. They were about whether Georgians were going to be treated as full citizens in this state."
She is so much better than them. And, of course, it's primary day in Georgistan. Herschel Walker will probably emerge as the Georgia Republican nominee to face off against Reverend Raphael Warnock. And I heard some panel on MSNBC a week or so ago with a bunch of white Republicans who said, "Yeah, well, I mean, Herschel Walker put a gun and a razor to his wife's head, but hell, Reverend Raphael Warnock beat the shit out of his wife, too. So, what, you know, it's just how them people are." I added that it's just how them people. But yeah, they know. And of course, that's a smear that's being run in Georgia that Reverend Warnock beat his wife. It gets so exhausting. Well, thank you, Darlene. Darlene in Connecticut says, "I've got a corduroy nightgown." That's hilarious and cowbell worthy. It becomes a little less funny when you realize it's true. It's about floor length. It's great in the winter, unless you want to, you know, once you're in bed and you're wearing the corduroy nightgown, you don't wear the corduroy nightgown when you've got the flannel sheets on, because it might as well be a magnet. You're going nowhere. I was just trying to think of the unsexiest thing. Thank you, Darlene. I love it when folks get my little attempts at humor. It just makes me so happy. Hey, let's run over and check in on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Robin.
Hey, how are you?
This is Ken from Northwest Pennsylvania.
Good to hear from you, Ken. I remember.
Good. I'm surprised. I see you got a big giant hole to fill, huh?
It's not pleasant, no.
I see that. Well, if I can grab a pen and paper, I will send a check through the mail.
Okay. Thank you.
One second. I had my notes here when I was going to talk to you, but lost my notes.
Oh, no.
Damn.
Well, maybe there's a couple of things banging around
yet. I lost my mind on the way somewhere, too.
Well, it's like that old bumper sticker says, Ken, of all the things I've lost, I miss my mind the most.
Yeah, really. All right, I'm ready.
Oh, the mailing address? It is The Horn.
Yeah.
1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, stands for personal mailbox, 318 Beckley, Beckley, WV, 25801.
The one, and repeat it back. The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, West Virginia, 25081.
No, 25801.
25801. Okay, transposition error.
And just remember, just make it to The Horn.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Because it's not my personal account.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of in between credit cards at the moment, but I was inspired to call, seeing how dire the situation was, and check in and tell you about all the grief I've been going through.
Please do. I mean, not please, but because, I'm sorry you have.
Yeah, I get it.
Last time we talked, you were going through some things.
Yeah. Well, I gather you're not really talking about the Texas shooting because, you know, what else was left to say?
Well, I mean, I talked about it in the first hour, but, you know.
Yeah, I missed that, but it's not necessary. It's not necessary. I mean, what else are you going to say? I mean. Not again, but again.
Right, it's not again, or not again.
It's going to keep happening, and the insurrection is going to happen again. You know what? It happened the first time with Bush. Bush v. Gore. Remember rousers down in Florida? I think that was their trial run. It took them, 16 years to do it again, but they've done it again, and they're going to do it again. Fuckers. I hate them. I'm sorry. I really do. I shouldn't spend time on hating them, but I do.
You're fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I listened to some Mike from way back, so I got the same kind of bug. Talking about conservatives or whatever they want to call themselves.
I've run out of vocabulary. I mean, I think I finally I just finally landed on white wing.
Yeah, right. That's pretty close to the whole shits and giggles. So, my mom died on the 6th of January. So, I needed to remember that date. That made it real easy. Right?
Yeah.
So, year anniversary of the insurrection. And then, first of this month, I had a stroke.
You had a stroke?
Yes.
How are you?
55, and I had a stroke. It only affected my vision. Bad enough, but could have been a hell of a lot worse.
God, I'm so sorry to hear it.
Yeah, I know. I'm not looking for sympathy or
No, but you get sympathy and empathy just the same. You don't have to ask for it.
Right, because, right. Insane. The clot landed in the left occipital lobe, which, you know, controls like vision and your autonomic nervous system type deals. So, I had two, they counted from the diagnostic. It was a week, 5 days in the hospital and 5 days in rehab. Your surgery was much longer.
Oh, no.
Congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. But yeah. No, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling okay, but a little waked out. A little afraid, a little scared, a little nervous. Hopefully, you know, things come back. It really hasn't affected me other than my vision, which, I don't know, it's kind of like a blind spot in the center of my face. I don't know. I have to drive, so I went through some occupational therapy. I was like, I have to go to driving school again. But there's no public transportation that's, you know, reliable, so forget it. Country living, you know about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Were you able to get care pretty quickly?
Yeah, it was. I waited probably too long, but yeah, fairly quickly. It happened on a Sunday, and I probably should have called the ambulance, but I didn't. I thought maybe it was something else, panic attack. I don't know. But I had somebody to rely on, called them, took me in, couldn't walk for a couple of days. My balance was all off.
How are you doing now relative to like rehab and therapy?
Much better. Like I said, I went and did the kind of a driving test thing, and I did well. Went and hit some golf balls today, which was really weird.
As long as you hit them with
threw my death curve fast enough.
I was going to say, as long as you hit them with a golf club, you're doing pretty good.
You're better than me. I had a little more dirt than anything else, but I happen to like playing it, so I had to quit smoking.
That was probably not a bad thing to do.
Yeah. But I cheated a couple of times, and, you know, shame on me. But, damn, that's a habit. God damn, it's so addicting.
Oh, it is.
You know, you went through it, so.
Oh, it's horrible.
But, yeah. You had a good reason to, and now I do.
There's a lot to be said that you're going to save money.
Yeah. For sure. Well, what's worse, I can drive the Indian reservation, and I'm pretty close to New York, and we can go there and get their brand, you know, without paying all the federal and state taxes. So it was like $30 a carton versus $90. But that's not good either. Plus, I can't afford them.
Oh.
I wish I could find my notes. I had so many things to say. I'm really scatterbrained myself. I'm kind of really all over the place. Sometimes I forget even what I was thinking to talk about.
Well, you're fine. There's no pressure and there's no hurry.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, I'm probably closest to a person that, yeah, I didn't make it on air. I have a a panic attack talking to the Robin Kincaid.
Yes.
And the
that mean I get to, does that mean
large.
I get to sign my name that way now?
Yeah, you could. If there's a corollary to knighthood.
Yes, or
a woman can be a knight, right?
No, we're dames.
Oh, okay. Dames. With the nice gams. Sorry.
You go fine.
Right in the gutter.
You're fine.
So it's weird being on the hospital bed, you know, with my mom being a caregiver, and I've seen her, and you know, being on the other side of it, and it's just as boring. Oh my gosh, I was bored to tears. Good thing I had a phone.
Yeah, there's it's kind of like what Helene Fisher was talking about yesterday evening, Ken. And I was, you know, the caregiver versus being cared for is a, it's not something we tend to think about until we are in one or the other of those spaces.
Right. We didn't necessarily want to even.
No.
It's funny, you might remember my daughter was born premature.
Yeah.
Born after 6 months. And my wife had preeclampsia. And because abortion has been on the topic, it's a gross subject to talk about, but I can't imagine where being a society where that wasn't even an option for us. I mean, it could have killed my wife, could have killed both of them, provided that she would. When my daughter was born, I'm just so missed by that. You know, fuck you. You're not going to decide for me because of, you know, your imaginary God. It's truly unfortunate that we're in this position now with the Supreme Court making laws.
Well, it's frightening, isn't it? Because, you know, our friend Joy in Ann Arbor pointed out that once they can compel you to do one thing medically, they can compel anything else too. And for those interested, over on YouTube, there's a channel called Philosophy Tube, where the former Ollie Thorne did a piece on exactly that. Where an individual was and completely destroyed the anti-abortion argument, utterly demolished it,
right.
by creating a scenario where an individual was forced to stay, I don't want to give away too much, but it's an older video, was forced to stay hooked up with like tubes and hoses and stuff to someone with dying kidneys. And, and you know, there is no difference. And because she is absolutely brilliant, there's nothing left of the anti-abortion debate to argue.
Oh, yeah, even like Terry Schiavo, it just reminded me of that.
Oh my goodness, Terry Schiavo. I hadn't thought of Bill the Cat Killer Frist in quite some time.
Bill the Cat. Bill the Cat Killer, and then there was, you know, Bill the Cat from Bruce Lee Breathed.
Wait, what was the noise? Wasn't that it?
Yeah, right. Ack.
Ack.
Ack. And milquetoast the little cockroach. The first sentient cockroach. He was very small, but...
very small, but very smart.
Might happen. Yeah, well, the 7 feet, they might grow 7 feet if we don't, you know, stop destroying the planet. But hey, it's all good.
And I tell you what, if you love your old comic strips, there. It's a little harder to get your hands on, but old Walt Kelly Pogo collections are pure genius.
Right.
Pure genius. I always loved the bats. They were such incorrigible little crooks.
Yeah, I don't think I caught that one too much. Maybe it was in our paper or something. But
it was pretty much done by the time I was a little little kid.
But I've heard you mention that one. That's a good one.
He parodied the John Birch Society, and newspapers worried about the language restrictions and everything. They still ran them. He parodied the John Birch Society with the Jack Acid Society. It was capital J-A-C-K, capital A-C-I-D. So it was a proper name, the Jack Acid Society. For the time in which he worked, that was really edgy.
Yeah, listening to some of your past issues, I'm like, it's right before your surgery on that. So you had Jim jacking off Jordan. That was hilarious.
Well, he's never seen with his jacket on, so he has to be Jim jacket off.
Yeah, right. I know. Right. It's perfect. Fits. It fits. He's a giant dickhead.
Oh. Well, it would be nice if he could finally be seen, because, that's one of the things about the prison system. They do not insist on coat and tie.
Right.
Maybe he'd be happier there.
Yeah, I don't want to have a tie, actually. You end up like the Epstein guy.
So, having recently dealt with a stroke, Ken, and knowing you're in PA, I imagine your heart really went out to John Fetterman.
Yeah, it did. Seems kind of ironical. Blessed be the goddess of irony. But yeah, I'm glad he won. I think he's got a little bit better chance against Dr. Oz, but I am enjoying watching them fight it out.
The standard disclaimer applies where all the Republicans are concerned. I hope it doesn't hurt too little.
Yeah, right, exactly. Exactly. Fight. I'm hoping for Dr. Oz.
He's
a credit bagger, right?
What a charlatan. What a snake oil salesman.
Both of them are. He was from the get-go. Yeah. I watched this show. My mom watched this show once in a while. I tried to tell her. He's a con man.
So the governor's race up there, Doug Mastriano. He's insane. Is there a chance that the part of Pennsylvania that's Alabama will actually get him across the finish line?
Boy, I'm not the guy to ask. I sure hope not. I don't think so, but boy, I don't know. I'm starting to get worried about Pennsylvania. Going a little too crazy. I don't know, maybe cooler heads will prevail, or maybe just because they won't turn out for Dr. Oz, or they'll turn out for Mastriano, for sure, because he's a full nut job. Gonna own the libs, right?
No, yeah. And he uses the word crap a lot.
Yeah, does he?
Yeah, and that impresses the Christians, because that means he don't cuss.
Oh. Right. Not in public anyway, or not with a live mic.
Yeah, not when anybody's watching.
Right. I'm just waiting for somebody to catch him and say in the N-word or something.
Oh, it'll probably happen. And it won't, and it won't make a damn bit of difference to the Republicans, Ken. You know that.
Yeah, no, I know it doesn't. That's the draw for the vocal minority.
That just means he tells it like it is.
Tell it like it is. I love the Southern accent. You do a good Foghorn Leghorn.
A lot of practice, Ken. A lot of practice.
Yeah.
It's like the old joke about how do I get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice.
I like when, not messing with the dog, but they have that little chicken.
Oh,
little
the chicken hawk? Yeah.
Yeah, chicken hawk. And you need too bright. I'm like, I can't do the Southern accent. I can't do voices at all. Can't sing either.
So what are you doing just to sort of push back at the blues, push back at the malaise, be happy, that kind of stuff?
To be honest, right now I'm still alive, so it's kind of easy, Or I could be blind. I could be, who knows? I might not be able to breathe on my own. So, where the plot landed. So to me right now, I'm happy. I'm alive. I have
God,
people that care about me.
That is such a great attitude.
Yeah. It helps me get through. I've always been kind of depressed but blue. Introvert. I'm a very introverted type of person. So me reaching out to the community is a big step. It feels kind of good. I'm getting off on it right now, actually.
Cool. Yeah, that's good.
Endorphin rush. So I'm nervous, and the endorphin rush, it feels good. When I'm alive, we got two great kids. Hopefully, some more life to live. And I can't imagine without Robin Kincaid on the podcast. So, people, if you got money, dig in your pockets. We need.
Sweet.
Robin.
That's so kind.
Robin, because you put me to sleep. Yeah. Keep my mind occupied. I move on.
Robin
to,
she's better than Ambien.
Not usually, but I'll pick up where you left off and listen to the rest of the conversation. Yeah, I was so scared I was going to call you dude, because I always say my friend and I call each other dude all the time. So I'm like, I can't do that. Now I'm going to do it because I had that thought in my head. Shit. And I really don't mean it. I just... maybe it's the Valley Girl talk.
Like, wow.
Dude, gnarly. Getting me with a spoon.
Exactly. Let's go to the Galleria.
With a toad hanger. Go ahead.
I said, let's go to the Galleria.
Oh, right.
Nobody does that voice like Tracy does.
Yeah, right. She's really awesome at it. Yeah, she's really awesome at it. Yeah, that was the other funny thing is Mr. Stress Miller.
Brother Deacon Asa mentioned to me the other day, last week, that we had passed the 7th anniversary, I think.
Really?
Of
wow.
His passing.
Wow. happened here today. Holy crap. I'd say a prayer, but what's the point? I'd have a drink, maybe.
He would appreciate that. He would appreciate that much more.
Right. You know, that's too bad. I've actually seen his poster. And, I lived in Cleveland for a very short period of time, like 6 months. I went to a Shyster's there, but it was on Euclid Avenue. I walked down to the tavern. I saw his poster. Another thing of, I don't know, serendipity or small world, but you know, it's pretty big. I never did get to go out and see him, but I would have loved to.
Well, you know, there's still a bunch of his music out on YouTube.
Right, right. I've seen some of it. Not too big, heavy in the blues, but yeah, make exceptions. Yeah, I'm pretty quirky as far as music.
What do you like?
Being a drummer and all. I like all kinds of stuff. But it sort of lists what I don't like. Like rap and dance music. You know, club music.
My tastes have changed a lot over time. With the exception of the Happy Goodman Family or Squire Parsons singing Beulah Land, I really don't have any. I don't have any limits anymore. Or, you know, Jesus, This Is Jimmy. That's still very triggering for me.
Oh, geez. That's hilarious. I know we've talked about and I'm more being a drummer. I like groove and funk and. Rock. I'm big into heavy metal, but I can't play it.
You know, I don't even know why, but I found a great band, and I don't know. I don't think you'd call them metal; they're more punkish. But yeah. A band called Against Me, and their lead singer transitioned probably 10 years ago.
Oh,
and
wow.
she is just amazing. Might want to check them out.
Uh-oh. Listen.
Oh, by the way, Ken, Billable Rick has awarded me a cowbell because of what, after you said you put me to sleep. And I said, Robin Kincaid, she's better than Ambien. So I'll take the cowbell wherever I can get it. That's two cowbells I've gotten this evening.
Oh, wow. Good job. I've been trying to find... I can't always be funny. Well, I try to be. I'm not above a bad pun. Believe me.
Oh, you want to hear a terrible pun?
Yes, sir.
Okay, this is awful. I mean, I came up with this, I think, Sunday, and I literally ran in the house to tell Annette, because there... Just truly great, awful puns are to be celebrated.
You're right.
And I am who I am. And
right.
and so there's a little bit of a setup. The younger trans girls out there are all the time. I see these pictures of them wearing these cute little chokers, you know, like cameo chokers, it'd be black velvet, things like that. And they're just adorable.
Okay.
And so I was trying on some like. Choker beads at the little boutique that I wander through from time to time. They've got some cute locally made jewelry and stuff. And I tried on every one, but they wouldn't clasp in the back, Ken. And it made me really sad. And I told my therapist about it. And she said, "Well, that's pretty simple, Robin. You're just dealing with a little bit of man neck depression."
Oh.
Isn't that awful?
Oh, wow. That was awfuler than I thought it was going to be.
It's See, I thought so. Yeah, because, I mean, I told that one to Annette, and she started looking for things to throw at me and was saying, boo, 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 hiss, boo. I even called Miss Terry and told her about it, and she was like, I hate you so much.
Who's Annette?
The former Agnes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm behind so a bit.
Yeah.
So I'm confused now. It's a different person too. Cause
No. Annette is who. Agnes was a nickname. Annette is her name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that.
No.
I always knew her as a warrior princess as Agnes.
Yeah, yes. But, okay. Well, Annette the Viking warrior pharaoh princess.
Right. Oh, that's right. I forgot. I dropped two adverbs. Is that right? Sorry for that.
Yeah, see, I did it, and now I got Ralph. Boo! From the Princess Bride. Boo! It's pretty awful, but I was proud of it.
Right, for sure.
Oh, and see, there's Scott in San Diego getting in on the act. You need one of those Vestal Goodman choker extensions available in drug and variety stores everywhere. Oh yeah, I'm ashamed.
Scott is bad for us.
Well, Scott's a bad influence on me.
Yeah, he is. He's a bad influence on all of us, but I think it's hilarious.
Oh, we had so much fun last night just playing. We had so much fun last night just playing dueling Blazing Saddles lines.
All right, well, I look forward to hearing it maybe in a couple of months.
You're catching up. You're catching up. Listen,
I've been catching up for years.
That's okay. Plenty of time. And glad you're here to catch up on them. Ken, have a great evening. Don't hesitate to call anytime. And don't feel like you've got to have a list of written notes.
But that helps me. But, yeah, I do appreciate it. And $100 coming your way shortly, hopefully.
Oh, wow. Wonderful. So that's down. Okay, so we're down to $17.90. Thank you.
Right. Again, if anybody can chip in, I can't live with my life without Robin. So dig in, folks.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you so much.
And listen, you're very welcome.
You stay safe and healthy up there, okay? Please.
I will. I'll do that. And I'll be calling back.
Anytime you like. Anytime you like, I promise.
All right. Great.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
I remember the last time Ken called. And what a good spirit. And I had a note from Jude. She was trying to get into the program at the same time that Ken was. See, when somebody's on the stress line, you can't call the stress line because then at that point in time, the stress line's busy and I can't merge calls. So Jude said, Ken offers a sort of balm to the day. It's in his openness and vulnerability, offers our community his walk. We need to know when others are in duress. Juanita and Kevin have taught me this. In gratitude to the universal flow. And Ken's content and comments were full and incredibly revealing. Be well, Ken. Be well, community. Thank you, Jude. Thank you so very much. Oh, no. This is so good. Lady B, picking up the pun and running with it. I feel like I just put the alley-oop up and she put it through. Yeah. Hendrix with a skirt. Man neck depression is a frustrating mess. Yes, yes. God, we need the laughs where we can find them, and I can't feel too guilty about it. Even in the face of the horrors that are there each and every day. By the way, from the department of that didn't age well, Greg Asbot in Texas, had something to say a while back about guns. 15 dead in Uvalde, Texas. And it was October 28th, 2015. He hadn't even been governor of Texas for a year. But that's okay. He can screw up. He's proven he can screw up and be disgusting at a moment's notice. So when he announced the slaughter at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, somebody was on his timeline double quick, because on October 28th, 2015, as I mentioned, he tweeted, "I'm all caps, embarrassed! Texas number two in nation for new gun purchases behind California. Let's pick up the pace, Texans." And he linked to the article about gun sales, and he pitched the National Ruble Association. Yeah. Let's see. Now, what are some of the other mass shootings that have taken place on Greg Abbott's watch? Because guns are more important to him than human lives. Sutherland Springs Church, November 2017, that left 26 dead and 22 injured. And a reminder, we move on from all of these stories. We count the dead and leave the maimed to just deal with it. There was Santa Fe High School, 10 dead and 13 wounded in May of 2018. The El Paso Walmart happened in August 2019. 23 people died there. 23 people were maimed. And then there was the slaughter in the Midland Odessa massacre. 7 people died there. 7 people were murdered there. 25 people were maimed. But Greg Asbot is embarrassed, because not enough guns were being purchased by lawful gun owners. Lawsuit going down in Iowegia. 63-year-old Daniel Snyder, different one, of Ryerdale, Iowa, is suing Arconic, which used to be Alcoa, Alcoa standing for Aluminum Corporation of America. He's suing Alcoa Arconic in U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Iowa. He'd been a 10-year employee in the Riverdale plant. It was June of 2021, Pride Month 2021, my first Pride Month. And the CEO sent out an engagement survey to all the employees. And the CEO wanted to know how to make the plant better. And when he clicked the link, Daniel Snyder was taken to a company webpage that had a rainbow flag on it for Gay Pride Month. Now, somehow or another, this genius thought that he was being asked to comment, he claims in his lawsuit, that he thought he was being asked to comment on, you know, the pride flag. And he typed, "It's an abomination to God. Rainbow is not meant to be displayed as a sign for sexual gender." Well, it wasn't part of the survey. Went straight to the company message board that was public for all the employees. And then, according to the lawsuit, Daniel Snyder was suspended. And then when he proved to be an asshole about it, he was fired. And, of course, because one of those grifter organizations picked him up, he's now suing in federal court, claiming his closely held religious, sincerely held religious beliefs were violated when he was fired for being an asshole. He sincerely believes that the Bible shows that the rainbow is a sign of the covenant between God and man, and thus that it is sacrilegious to use the rainbow to promote relationships and ideologies that violates God's law. He's suing under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Because, of course, he is. What an asshole. Oh, well. So, as noted, we have gotten down to $1,890. And we will try, we will keep plugging away. Tomorrow's prayer meeting Wednesday. And I've got a backlog. Oh, my God. So thank you to everyone for joining in this evening. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time, either during the live program or on the podcast, engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers, to our a la carte contributors. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Please stay safe. Get your booster. Keep your social distance. Wear your mask. You know, at the Pride Walk the other day, I got these really pretty rainbow masks. And I wore mine with pride when I went to the doctor today. Be as safe as you possibly can be. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women, the folks of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, now a union shop. Lady B asks, what will it take? Perhaps an incident at the Open, the Met Gala, White House Correspondents' Dinner? Hell, they have X-ray body scanners, guards, and maybe even a few snipers. Nope, it won't affect them. They'll cry and write opinion columns, but they don't grocery shop, so who cares? Love y'all. Stay safe. P.S. NSA, Agent Fred, I'm not threatening anyone. No, you are not. You are asking a legitimate question in redress of grievance. So remember to please keep your social distance. It gives you a better chance, among other things, if you're 15 to 20 feet away from the nearest person. It gives you at least a split seconds more reaction time. Oh, God, I hate that we think this way. And if you see somebody coming towards you grunting and barking, "It's an abomination! And I am not going back in the police closet." Jesus. Well, avoid that person like the plague, or those people, because they are. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.